Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Welcome, everyone, to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio. I am Deacon Al Lundy. Good News is a program about the Gospels, about the Word of God. And it's fitting that we be here on Catholic Spirit Radio, whose ministry it is to share the Word of God with everyone that we can reach. And we're reaching more and more people all the time. Right now, we go from, let's see if I can get this right, Lincoln on the south, pretty close to Lincoln on the south, Rockford to the north. And we go west to, do we get to Farmer City yet? Farmer City, closing in on Champaign-Urbana at some point, hopefully. And west, we go to, what would be the furthest way? Do we go beyond Danvers? A little bit. Goodfield. Okay. Not so far west, but we have hopes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm from the Quad Cities. I would love someday for my cousins. I still have lots of cousins in the Quad Cities. I would love for them to be able to hear me on Good News. So. Pardon me?
150,000 gets us a
150,000, that's all we need. Somebody dig deep into that pocket and make the $150,000 donation that we need to open up the Quad Cities. And that would only add a few tens of thousands of households to our listening audience. We would love to do that. So if I have that many cousins up there. So if the Quintanas are listening up in Rock Island, Moline, Anawan, Milan, come up with that $150,000, and you can listen to Cousin Al on the radio. But we'd like to be there someday, and I'm sure, God willing, we will be. What were we going to talk about for the beginning of this week? So much going on. Oh, I remember. We have we're heading into the warmer weather. My wife and I like to do stuff around the house, yard work, things like that, as well as stuff in the house, and we don't watch a lot of television, but what we have gotten hooked on, and this started during COVID, my wife got me hooked on this, programs about renovations, household renovations. We've been watching one, what's it called? Something on the Rock. It's about this family. They're really cool. They do old home renovations out in like Iceland or something. It's a beautiful setting, but they really are on a cliff in the Atlantic Ocean, basically doing homes. And it's just really neat to see how they take stuff that's well over 100 years old and you think is rotted and worthless, and they use it to build new homes, and just gorgeous homes. And it made me think the other day about our first reading from this weekend, because it talks about the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone, right? That what you think, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, kind of a thing. And so it just made me think of our first reading, but we'll come back to that. But we've been binge watching these home renovation programs, and what slays me about them, they'll get to one house and they'll have wood floors. Oh, you got to have wood floors. Oh, no. You got to put tile in. So they rip out the wood and they put in tile. But they'll go in another house that has tile. Oh, no, you can't have tile. You got to have wood. They rip out the tile. They put in the wood. One house will have gray walls. And, oh, you need color. And they'll put all sorts of wild colors on the wall. But they'll walk into another house with all wild colors and say, what this house really needs is gray tones. Yes. No matter where they go, you know, they want the opposite of what they find. And they make one house, they make change house A to look like house B, and then they change house B to look like house A. I just get a kick out of that. But I suppose you have to get something on the air when you're doing those programs. You have to make some kind of a change to validate what you're doing. They do some good stuff, I'll admit, but other things I just get a kick out of. They're never happy with what they have. It has to be, they have to change it, you know, even if it's, they're just kind of repeating themselves. We do that in our lives. You know, we get to a point where we just want to change our lives. We want to make it look like somebody else's. And that's pretty much a waste of time. If you want to change your life to look like someone else's, don't change it to look like your neighbor's life. Change it to look like Christ's life. That's actually a better plan. And it fits all ages, all eras, all lifestyles, all styles completely. And a way to do that, and this is tying back now to the good weather, is get involved in a charity. There's sometimes when it's cold and it's wet and it's snowy, it's hard to get ourselves out of our home to do something for other people. But now that we're coming into warm weather, there's a lot of really good quality charities in your town or your community serving others in need. Go help them. Get yourself out of the chair. Get away from binge watching television. Get the kids away from the computer games. Teach them about real life. Let them get them outside. Get them involved with other people who are working to help the homeless or the hungry, the poor, the imprisoned, whatever. Get out and help other people. You probably have in your area a soup kitchen, a food pantry, a clothing pantry, maybe a St. Vincent de Paul Society. Who knows? There's all kinds of charities out there doing great work. And you won't believe once you get involved the amount of need that there is. I know in Bloomington, the St. Vincent de Paul Society, two bags of groceries and other sundry items twice a week to hundreds of families in need. And you would never know that in Bloomington Normal that the need is that great, but it really is. And so they need help. They need volunteers to do this work. Whether it be a Salvation Army soup kitchen or, like, say, a clothing pantry. Great lesson for kids, and a great way to feed your spirit is to get out and help others in need. And it's a great way for you to be more Christ-like in your life. If you want to change, there's a change to shoot for. Change in your willingness to be a servant, to serve others in need. And contact your church. If you can't think of an idea to do, if you can't find a charity, your church certainly can find ministries for you and would love to have you involved. A couple that I work with at the parishes I serve, a welcoming committee, the hospitality committee puts on meals all through the month for various events and for the general public and for the parishioners on Sundays. But they also do all kinds of other charitable work. And there's a ministry that just decorates the church inside and out. And that helps make our liturgical celebrations more deeply celebrated. It puts people in the mood through color and beauty and music. And so there's lots of ministries at your church that need your help. So look into all of those and do something special this spring and summer. It's a time of growth. It should be a time of growth not only for your lawn, but it should be a time of growth for you. You should come through this a different person, a better person. And that's God's plan. If you're wondering, you know, what's God's plan for me? His plan for you is to be the very best person you can be. And Christ showed us through his love for others that the way you do that is through charity, through acts of love. And so Christ invites you now to get out of your chair and out of your home and serve others. And if you can't get out of your home, there are still ministries you can do at home to help others. Phone call ministries that are available, prayer ministries that are available to you. So I hope you'll do that. In fact, here at the radio station, we need some volunteers at the radio station for service. There are things that need to be done here, helping with our carathons, helping with our special events, perhaps helping in the office. I know we need just someone to clean up after me and some of the other folks as we come in and use the studios. We just need somebody willing to come in and do some light housework around the radio station. We're an all-volunteer organization. I found that out way too late, but whoops. Well, John warned me when he first asked me to do this, he said they would pay me what I'm worth. And he has kept his promise. So I joined the ranks of the volunteers here at the station. And it's a great family. It's a great group of people. But we too need volunteer ministry here to help. We have a prayer ministry here. We would love to have you volunteer to help with our prayer ministry and pray for our listeners who call in with their prayer requests. So some things to look at, to think about this spring and summer, make it a time of growth for your relationship with Christ by volunteering to help others. Charitable acts of love, that's what all Christian faith should be based on. We have the readings from the fourth Sunday of Easter coming up this weekend, and we're going to be looking at those readings and talking about how they affect us in our lives. When we come back after just a few announcements here on Catholic Spirit Radio, you're listening to Good News with Deacon Al Lundy.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Listeners support Catholic Spirit Radio in many different ways. Some write checks, others use credit cards. But did you know that you can also give Catholic Spirit Radio your old car, truck, boat, motorcycle, or RV, even if it's not working? Donating your vehicle is easy. We take care of everything from pickup to tax receipt. Just go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com to click on the Donate Your Vehicle link or call 866-628-CARS.
Three Kings Gifts has sacramental and seasonal gifts, religious medals, rosaries, and more on the College Avenue Epiphany Church campus in Normal. Three Kings Gifts is open 10 to 3:30 on Thursday and Friday, 8 to 1 on Sunday. Profits help charitable organizations.
And welcome back to Good News. I'm Deacon Al. I'm here with John Hall at the control panel. John is still waking up after a long week with our Carathon a couple of weeks ago. Thank you all for your participation in Carathon. We raised over $50,000 to help keep paying the bills here at Catholic Spirit Radio, which means that in about 6 months, we'll be coming back again saying we'd like to stay on the air another 6 months. And we'll be looking for your help. So start looking now at ways that you can help support Catholic Spirit Radio. Maybe look at your life and look at your expenses and say, you know, here's something that I don't need as much as God could make better use of than I make use of this. And by setting aside just a few dollars a week and making that donation to Catholic Spirit Radio, you can help spread the ministry of the gospel throughout central Illinois. So start saving now and take part in our next Carathon. But if that money is burning a hole in your pocket and you want to donate right now, you can do that by going to our website at CatholicSpiritRadio.com, clicking on the Donate button and filling out that short form to make your donation. Or you can mail a donation to Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Boekens, Normal, Illinois, 61761, and mail in your donation. And who knows, we might even have a couple coffee cups left over from the Carathon that we could get into your hands here. So we appreciate all your support and your continued prayers for Catholic Spirit Radio as we continue in our ministry to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to central Illinois. So in our readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter, a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter is still talking to the Sanhedrin and making a point that, hey, you guys messed up. You messed up big, but there's still an opportunity for you to repent. We're going to hear from, from the first letter of St. John, and then we will hear from John in our gospel as well. And it's the Good Shepherd gospel, which I love. So, in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, Peter's talking, Luke is telling us how Peter is talking to the Sanhedrin, and he says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means was he saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, in his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has now become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." This is a really important scripture. Peter and a couple of the other apostles on leaving the upper room on Pentecost, healed a beggar. And they did it quite simply. The beggar was looking for alms, and Peter and his companions said, "Gold and silver we have none, but what we have we'll happily share with you." And they laid hands on him. They said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, the only Son of the living God." And the man was healed. For that, they were arrested. Why? It was the Sabbath, and they worked. Oh, no. They did something kind to another human being on the Sabbath. They tried to stone Jesus for the very same thing. And now with Jesus gone and his resurrection known to everyone, now they're trying to go after Peter and the apostles to shut them up. And Peter said, "Just so you know, I didn't do this. You weren't able to do this. This was done by Christ, the Christ who you killed, who you had killed, and who after you had him killed, God raised him from the dead, something else you couldn't do, that only Christ could do. And now that you've thrown him away, you've treated him like this reject, now he's become the new cornerstone on which a new church is going to be built. And you did all this to yourself." And they reminded him, "There is no salvation through anyone else. There's no one on the Sanhedrin who can save the lives of the Sanhedrin. Herod's already killed John the Baptist, so they can't turn to John the Baptist for anything. That it's Christ and only Christ." And it was these folks who chose to have him brutally, brutally murdered. And so Peter's really taken the game back into their court and said, "You messed up, so now what are you going to do about it?" Well, Peter says that same thing to us when we reject Christ. And a lot of us have. I mean, do you realize, even within the Catholic Church, right now they say over 60% of the Catholic Church, members of the Catholic Church, don't recognize the Eucharist as the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. They think it represents it. Jesus never said, "This represents my body and blood." He said, "This is my body. This is my blood." And he said, "And if you don't eat of the body and blood, you can never enter heaven." 60% of Catholics don't believe that. If you want to know who those 60% are, this Sunday in Mass, look around. It's not the ones you see, right? No, if you're not, I'm sorry, but if you're not going to Mass, and I have family members who don't go to Mass, I have dear Catholic friends who don't go to Mass regularly, I'm sorry, if you're not going to Mass, you really aren't any different in your actions than the Pharisees were. You're rejecting Christ as who Christ is. If you're saying that the Mass isn't important, that the Eucharist isn't important to me, then you're no different than the Pharisees. And there is no one who can save you other than Christ. And so we need to heed the words of Peter and understand that what we are rejecting is the foundation of not only of this world, but the foundation of the next world. This is no time to be a cafeteria Catholic and say, "These are the parts, these are the doctrines and dogmas I accept, and these are the parts I'm not so sure about." And if you're wondering what that looks like, we have a number of very well-known Catholics in internationally known political positions who are those kind of Catholics who say, "I believe in Jesus Christ and who he is. I just don't believe in this part of it," whether that be the Eucharist or the church's stand on abortion or the church's stand on capital punishment or the church's stand on social justice, whatever it is, whatever part you reject, when you reject the teachings of the church, you're rejecting the teachings of Christ. You've become a Pharisee and you open yourself up to the same problems, the same consequences that the Pharisees have now opened themselves up to. So don't think, "Well, that's nice 2,000 years ago, but that's not me." Yeah, it's us. It's all of us. When we sin, when we reject Christ in the Eucharist, when we reject the importance of the Mass, Christ at the Last Supper said, "Do this in memory of me." Well, when we don't do it, we're rejecting that faith. So consider that. I know I talk a lot about returning to Mass, but it's because just like there are 60-some% of Catholics who no longer believe in the real presence of Christ, we have a growing number of the population of people who say they believe in God, but they have no faith. They practice nothing. Not just they don't practice Catholicism, they don't practice any Christian faith. The nuns. Now we're not talking about nuns like those lovely ladies in the habits who do such kind things in hospitals and for the poor and in schools. We're talking about people who have no religion. They're none. They don't practice anything. They say they have faith, but they do nothing to prove it. They do nothing to live it out. Are works necessary for salvation? Works are necessary to prove that you believe in Christ. To say, well, I said I believe in Christ, so I'm saved. It's like saying, well, I can swim, but I just don't like the water. Well, until I see you in the pool swimming, how do I know you can really swim? You might say you're Christian, but if I don't see you doing Christian things, you know, Christ challenges us and says, you must do this. You must love God with all your heart, soul, mind, spirit. You must love others as yourself. Charitable acts. If you're not doing those charitable acts, how do we know you love God? How can you show that you love God? So to say it and not follow it up with actions is, as James would say, is a bell without a clapper. You know, if we can't hear the ringing, how do we know you're a bell? If we don't see your acts of charity, how do we know you're Christian? How can you say to God, I am? And so just keep that in mind, that the Pharisees, Peter's telling the Pharisees, you're in a lot of trouble. You made a horrible mistake, a horrible choice. And he tells that to us too when we reject Christ through the Eucharist and through the Mass. Our second reading is from John, from the first letter of John. It's quite short. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they don't know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be is not yet revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we see this in the catechism. This particular passage is in every Catholic catechism. You have become a child of God through your baptism, an adopted child of God, a brother and sister to Christ our Lord. And the reason the world doesn't understand that is because the world still doesn't understand Jesus. The most the world rejected him when he was alive, most the world rejects him now. And we look for other ways for fulfillment, and there is no other way. Christ is the way. There is no other way. As children of God, we should have reverence for our parent, for our Father. And he waits for that. And he forgives us. The moment we return, all is forgiven, like the prodigal son. He just waits for us to come back to him. He's never left. But it's the choices we make. It's this secular world that keeps drawing us away from what the real truth is and from what real happiness is. I had someone the other day say, well, I'd like to be Catholic, but I like my freedom. So, well, what is freedom? It's a hard thing to define. They define it as the ability to do anything I want. Well, I don't know anybody who can do anything they want. I'd like to be able to fly without an airplane. I mean, I want to, but I can't. And no amount of want will make that possible. No amount of freedom will make that possible. Well, you know what I mean. I want to be able to do what I like to do. Well, what you like to do may not be good for you. Think how awful your parent would be if at 7 years old you said, hey, Dad, give me the keys to the car, and he gave it to you. What a terrible parent. I mean, you're going to die. You're going to have a horrible death because you're not ready for that. So that's not freedom. To be able to do what you want isn't freedom. To be able to pursue the good, to be able to pursue truth without being hindered, that's freedom. And that's what Christ offers, is the ability to pursue goodness and truth unhindered. No one can make you sin. No one. It has to be a personal choice. And that's what real freedom is, the ability to pursue the good and the truth. And so through Christ, he offers freedom. And that's what John is telling us here. So in our fourth Sunday, in our fourth Sunday gospel, we have John again. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who's not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord. What a beautiful reading that is. And just Christ proclaiming not only his own death and resurrection, but the fact that he does it voluntarily, and he does it out of love for all of us, not just for some of us, that Christ's offer of salvation is for the whole world, and that there are other sheep that hear his voice. He's talking about people outside of his church, that his goal has always been to be one church, one family in Christ. And this includes Christians and non-Christians alike, that we should all come together in one faith of one Christ. Will that ever happen? Only through the workings of the Holy Spirit, because we are too broken to do it on our own. But at some point, come the final judgment, there will be one church. It'll be in heaven, and it will be one God and one church, and we will all be one within it if we make the right choice, and that choice is to follow the one way, the one true shepherd who loves us so much that he would die for us. Something to think about as we're about midway now through our Easter season. It's always a pleasure to talk to you here on Catholic Spirit Radio. Hope you'll join us again each Saturday and Sunday evening at 8 o'clock. I am Deacon Al Lundy. May God bless you always and in all ways. Good night.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.